Thank you, Reagan, for reading the word to us this morning. This is audience participation. If you'd like to stand, please do so. Let's lift your voices and hearts to the Lord in praise. In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet, I want to die.
knowing you. There is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I
never mind.
heart will sing of how great you are. Beautiful and free, the song of galaxies, it's reaching far beyond the Milky Way. Come on, sing it loud as the music of the universe plays. We're singing, you are holy, great and mighty. The moon and the stars declare who you are. Stars declare who you are. I'm so unworthy, still you love me. Forever my heart will sing of how great. We're singing, you are holy, great and mighty. The moon and the stars.
Your meditation this morning is entitled One of a Kind. In the 19th chapter of Leviticus, Moses reviews the Ten Commandments for the people of Israel. To emphasize each of these commandments, he ends his lessons with the same phrase, I am the Lord your God. It seems just like a place marker if you read it through quickly. But if you pay some attention to it, you will see that it is an extremely important phrase. We're gonna break the phrase down into three sections. I am. It is the very name of God, the self-existent one, the great I am. He is the one being who must exist, for the universe borrows the idea of existence from him. If he doesn't exist, nothing else does either. The Lord, the one who rules over this universe by right of creation. His lordship over all things is an essential part of his character. He cannot refuse to be the Lord. Your God, the giver of all good and gracious gifts. The God especially associated with you, the God who proclaims you to be his child. These things alone would be quite sufficient as a cause for us to worship him, but now consider what he did for us. He entered into his own universe in the form of a human being. He became completely man, the ruler of all things, became one of us. In his adult life, he walked the earth with a few disciples, being the example of all things righteous and the teacher of all things good. He could have left it to us to find out by experiment, but he is the way, the truth, and the life. He left nothing to chance. The main purpose in coming was to serve as our atonement. His primary purpose for becoming human is summed up at his death, burial, and resurrection. He is the sacrifice which covers all of our sins. Communion is a reminder of these things. Consider the large scale of what he has done and the importance of his sacrifice for our eternal life. He has left us with a very simple ritual to be performed to remind us of these things. As we partake from the cup, we are drinking his blood. As we eat the bread, we are eating his body, in symbolism, of course. We do this to remember what he has done for us. We also declare by taking this cup that we anticipate his return to the earth in glory and power. We also declare that this is the beginning of the great judgment, wherein Christ will judge the living and the dead in accordance with what they have done. Finally, we are proclaiming by taking communion that we believe that this kingdom will never end, that this kingdom will last forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you, lift you up this morning. Just thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our homes. We thank you for all good things that you have provided for us. And we certainly aren't worthy of it, as we just sang, but you did it anyway. Lord, we just ask you to continue to shine down on us, continue to remind us of where we have fallen short, and that we need to step up and proclaim you to all people that we come in contact with. We'd ask you to please just now bless these emblems to our body, and we just thank you for the sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
life. Oh, have peace. Oh, have joy. Jesus is life to me. I have life. Oh, I have peace. Oh, I have joy. Cause Jesus gives life to me. Every morning when I wake up. Every night when I sleep, I have the joy of the Lord, and He is my strength. When I'm feeling happy, it's sad and blue, I can always trust the Lord, cause what He says is true. Oh, I have life. Oh, I have peace. Oh, I have joy. Jesus is life to me. Oh, I have life. Oh, I have peace. Oh, I have joy. Jesus gives life to me. Every morning when I wake up. Every night when I sleep, I catch the joy of the Lord, and He is my strength. When I'm feeling happy, or if I'm sad and blue, I can always trust the Lord, cause what He says is true. Oh, I have life. Oh, I have peace. Oh, I have joy. Jesus is life to me. I have life. Oh, I have peace. Oh, I have joy. Jesus is life to me. Jesus is life to me. Jesus is life to me.
Thank you, Jeremiah. We're going to continue celebrating this morning. Question man has asked God for a long, long time, God, how do we worship you? The prophets talked about it. Apostles talked about it. Jesus talked what was appropriate worship to God. And God's simple answer is, I created you. I've loved you. I've provided for you. I've given you everything you need. Proclaim in celebration my sovereignty. You want to know how to worship God? Proclaim in celebration my sovereignty. I want to read this morning to you together Psalms 24. It's only a 10-verse psalm. But boy, you see the heart of David here. In celebration and worship of the God that he knows, the one true God who took David from a slimy pit, an imperfect man like you and I, full of sin, elevated in a place of history where he will never be forgotten, put Jesus in his line, and this is what David has to say. The earth is the Lord, is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ascend, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. How do we worship God? Proclaim in celebration his sovereignty. That's exactly what David's doing right here. He is acknowledging and celebrating God for who he is and what he does. We have celebrations for victories all the time as human beings. When wars are won, we have huge parades, we have banners, we have singing, we have cheers, we have dancing in the streets. When games are won, Super Bowls, World Series, soccer games, national championships, when they're won, the fans just go nuts, go wild. I had the opportunity, I've been a lifelong Cubs fan, and I got to see my Cubs win a World Series before I died in 2016. And there was much celebration in the Cassetto house. I think Reese and I about fell through the television. We do a lot of celebrating when games are won. Graduations are coming up. We celebrate those victories with hats flying, parties are being thrown in honor of that graduate who had a major victory in their life and entering a new stage of life. We celebrate weddings, and the couples are praised. We celebrate new babies being born. We offer baby showers and congratulations to the new mother and father. And we celebrate a new victory, a new life that Jesus has made. We celebrate New Year's. We celebrate the victory of making it through 1 year and entering into a new year with a big countdown and lots of hugs and kisses at midnight. This morning I want to suggest... with all the celebrating that we do, we need to be celebrating King Jesus more. As excited as we get for those events, and I know there's other events, but just as excited as we get about those events that we celebrate, and some of those things, we spend a lot of money, time, and assets to celebrate those things. How is our celebration of Jesus each and every day? So this morning I want to talk about two things. Celebrating Jesus, basically what David's writing here, for who he is and for what he does. And I want to point out just a few things he is and a few things he does for us on a regular basis that should give us reason to wake up every morning, stand up, and cheer him for who he is and what he does. So in your outline, I just have two points we're going to talk about, but I got a few things under each point. Number one is for who Jesus is. Let's talk briefly for who he is. First and foremost, he is an earthly picture of our Heavenly Father. That and that alone should cause us to celebrate our Jesus. Give him our praise. Give him our worship each and every day. We preach and teach a lot in church of how much Jesus is our Savior. And I don't take that lightly. I don't suggest you take that lightly. But it seems like we acknowledge and talk and teach a lot about his Saviorhood, of who he is as a Savior. We don't speak enough about his Lordship. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is referred to as Lord at least twice as often as he's referred to as Savior. He is the earthly mirror image of the Heavenly Father. He is God the Father in the flesh, in the form of the Son. The creator of all universe, Scripture tells us very clear, everything was created for him and through him. Nothing was made, nothing has been made, and nothing will be made without his say-so. He is the author and he is the sustainer of all life. It is going to be Jesus Christ, King Jesus, who is going to be the sustainer of your life for all eternity. Colossians 1:15 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the image of the invisible God. You get people that don't understand your faith in God, and they will say, or they will question you, either face to face or behind your back, how can you worship a God that you cannot see? And they are so wrong. We have been given Jesus. And we have been able to see through Jesus exactly who God is. You were made in the image of God. You know where you came from. You didn't just come from mommy and daddy. You came from God. You came from the image of Christ. And I'm not just talking physically. Everything about Him is what He's transforming you to be. He's giving you His heart. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, He has given you His heart. He has given you His mind. He has given you His will, His purposes, His worth in life. You are co-heirs with the Son of the Most High, the Most High King. And we are to celebrate Him for who He is. And who is He? He is the earthly picture of God Himself in the flesh. God did not have to walk amongst men in the flesh, but yet He chose to. God created a perfect world. When He placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, Adam walked with God. Can you imagine waking up and having breakfast with God? Literally. I mean, we do. But I mean literally having breakfast with God. Having everything laid out there before you. You didn't have to work for breakfast. It was given to you by God. Hand-delivered. That was the relationship God wanted to have with man. To walk with him. Talk with him. Love him. And be loved in return. And we messed it up with sin. And as holy of a God that we serve, He cannot live in the midst of sin. So He sent His Son in the form of a man, able to be hurt, able to bleed, able to feel everything that you feel, able to experience everything you have experienced. So when somebody tells you or asks you, how can you worship a God you cannot see? You absolutely can see Him. He has showed you throughout history. He has shown you in His written word who He is, what He's like, what He looks like, what brings Him joy, what brings Him excitement, what makes Him disappointed, what makes Him angry, what's upsetting in Him, what His plans are, what His goals are. You have all that through the life of Jesus Christ. All praise, honor, and glory to Him for that. And that alone. But oh, there's so much more to Jesus. So much more to celebrate in Jesus. Not only is He the image of God, He is the path, the only path to God. Before Jesus came, there was no path to God. There was no sacrifice big enough to get you and I to heaven. There were not enough animals' blood that could be shed to cover your sin. It could hold it back a little bit. For the wages of sin is death. There has to be a death to cover your sin. That's why when Adam and Eve sinned and they ate of the fruit, their eyes were open. They saw that they were naked. Not only did God clothe them, He killed an animal to clothe them. There was a reason for that. A sacrifice had to be made. That was for Adam's benefit. That was for Eve's benefit. If that sin had not been covered, they would have been lost forever. God provided a sacrifice. He provided an animal. He provided blood to cover their sin. But here comes Jesus. He has covered your sin. He has covered my sin with His perfect, only perfect blood. Which makes Him the only way to your Creator, your God, forever. There are many religions, many false doctrines out there that will tell you there are many ways to heaven. If you are a good Buddhist, if you are a good Muslim, if you're a good this, a good that, yeah, a good whatever, if as long as you practice your truth, then you're good to go. God the Father sends Jesus, and Jesus says there's only one truth. There's only one absolute truth. There's only one path to heaven. It's not through what you do. It's not through how good you are. It's not through how many services you attend. It's not through how much money you give to charities or to church. It's through me. That and that alone, too, gives us answer and reason to celebrate Him every morning. We know the truth. Our eyes have been opened. Our hearts have been opened to the absolute truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him. It's because of Jesus that we have the ability this morning to bow before His throne and to worship Him at the communion table, to worship Him in song and present ourselves wholly in front of Him. It's what gives us the ability to stand before Him at the end of our service and lift up prayer requests to Him and ask Him to do things and ask Him to intervene in circumstances here on earth. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that allows us to even approach the throne and have audience with God the Father. So He is the path, the only path to God. And one of my favorites, Jesus is worthy of our celebration every day because He is the friend to those who follow Him. Not only is He your God, not only is He your Creator, not only is He the one and only one that can sustain your life forever, He chooses to call you friend. You are not His slave. You are not His servant, although, boy, do we want to be His servant. We want to serve Him day and night, and we are going to serve Him in heaven day and night. But He puts us on a level that we don't deserve. We are in His inner circle. He calls you friend. You think of how many times you have been unfaithful to Jesus. When somebody's unfaithful to us, one time. If a spouse is unfaithful once, if a best friend is unfaithful once, if a child, anyway, if somebody's unfaithful to us, what do we want to do? What's our instant reaction? Remove them from our life. I can no longer trust you. I have no faith in you. You are unfaithful. And we lose people in our lives a lot of times. Think of the slimy pit like David that Jesus pulled you out of, brushed you off, made you pure and holy in the eyes of God. And He calls you friend. Not because of what you do, but simply for who you are. God's relationship with us has nothing to do with what we do all the time. It's who we are in His presence. He knows your heart. That's why we worship God for who He is. We thank Him for what He does, and I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But we worship Him simply for who He is. He is the Lord Almighty. Jesus, yes, 100% human. But don't ever forget, Jesus is deity. He is 100% God. And you are His friend. John chapter 15, verse 13 and following says this, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." You're in the club. You're in the circle of influence. Jesus said, "I laid my life down for my friends." He didn't say, "I laid my life down for my enemies." He didn't say, I laid my life down for a bunch of worthless people who are ingrates and don't believe in me. I laid my life down for my friends. When you were deep in sin, covered in sin and guilt, Jesus called you friend. That's why He rescued you. That's why He loves you. We need to wake up every morning, especially when we gather as a church family, simply to celebrate Jesus for who He is. We also need to celebrate him and thank him for what he does. And I could preach all day long, but nobody brought picnic lunches today, so I'm not going to go through everything Jesus does. I'm going to hit a few biggies. We need to celebrate Jesus, for he loves us just as we are. Like I said, his love for you has nothing to do with what you do or what you say or what you do for a living or how you identify yourself in this world. He loves you for who you are. John 3:16, y'all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He did that for who you are, not for what you do. You are a created child in the eyes of God, loved and cherished and worth more than the angels themselves. You have been placed higher than the angels in heaven in the eyes of God. Why do you think Satan hates you so much? He was the angel of light. He got a lot of the attention. Eyes were on him. And God placed you above him. He doesn't like you for that. You are the most prized creation in God's eyes. For that, I say that and that alone. All these reasons. We only need one. Because Jesus loves you where you are, because of who you are, just as you are, that is worthy of his praise. I think a big one for all of us is Jesus loved us even when we didn't love him. Many, many, many of us have been there. Some of us were born, raised in church. And I had to take a quick look at this one, because it's easy when you're raised in church. I don't think any of us would say, well, there's never been a time in my life I didn't love Jesus. Don't forget, love is not a feeling. I've always had the feeling of love for Jesus. I was born in church. I was raised by godly parents. We went to church every Sunday. I've always had the godly feeling of loving Jesus. But let me tell you, through my life, in my actions, I have not always loved my Jesus. But Jesus loves us even when we don't love him, even when we don't act like it, even when we're putting ourselves first, putting our own selfish ambitions first, when we're looking out for me first, when we look down on other people. When we look down on other people, you realize you're looking down on Jesus' friends. You're looking down on something he created. And you're saying, you made something ugly there. Jesus doesn't make ugly stuff. He doesn't make ugly people. Sin is what makes people ugly. But Jesus loved us even when we didn't love him. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That is a huge statement from God. What he's saying there is, even when you didn't love me, I loved you and died for you. That's how great, that's how far my love will go. Don't forget, Jesus was hanging on the cross with people spitting at him, laughing at him, mocking at him. Satan was throwing a party because he was killing God. He was told he wasn't who he says he was. He was told that he didn't have the power to do what he said he was going to do. Disciples, his best friends on earth, the ones that followed him in his ministry, turned their backs on him. Peter, the rock, denied him, said, I don't know him. You've got the wrong man. He was scared because a little girl asked him if he was a follower of Jesus. Big, tough Peter. And in the midst of that setting, Jesus died for every one of those people. and he died for you and I. He did not lash out. He did not say you're all wrong. He did not say you're all going to hell. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing. He loved you so much. He went to the throne and said, forgive. He doesn't know what he's doing. And going along with forgiveness, God forgives our past. Jesus forgives our past. You all have pasts. I have a past. Sometimes our past goes just to last week. Sometimes our past goes years. Some of us have a past that nobody else in church knows about. And you're very deeply embarrassed about it and guilt-ridden of it. One reason to celebrate Jesus this morning is he forgives your past. You just have to ask. John 8, verse 1 through 11. I just want to read all 11 verses here and let Jesus speak to you. John 8, verses 1 through 11 says, "But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?' They were using this question to trap Jesus in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, 'Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.' Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there in front of him. Jesus straightened up again and asked her, 'Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?' 'No one, sir,' she said. 'Then neither do I condemn you.' And Jesus declared to her, 'Now go and leave your life of sin.'" He put her past in the past. He pointed out that she had sin in her life. That sin was forgiven. And now he said, "Go live a life without sin. Go live a life, be holy." Basically, he removed death from her life. This woman was physically going to die because of her sin. Jesus removed that. This woman was going to spiritually die because of her sin. Jesus, more importantly, removed that. You and I both were going to die spiritually because of our past. You and I have not been condemned by Jesus. Instead, we have been forgiven. And he says, "Let the past be the past. Now come, follow me." Boy, if that doesn't give you reason to wake up in the morning and celebrate King Jesus, I don't know what else to tell you. Other than this, the last one. He makes our lives new again. Not only does he forgive our past, not only does he forget about the past, he makes our life brand new again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." Exclamation point. That gets God excited, talking about getting to see God. That's part of it. When God gets the opportunity to make something new, he gets excited. You look at nature. God makes things new all the time. It amazes me how quick a forest fire happens and everything looks black for miles around. It amazes me how fast God creates something new in just a forest, in just nature. It amazes me here in Ohio. Ohio is a great example. Season to season, God makes new things. Everything is green and lush and beautiful this morning. I should probably whisper this. But in a few short months, everything's going to be white and gray and dingy again. God makes things new over and over and over. Look at the seasons of your life. You're not the same person you were 10 years ago. People have come and go from your life. Look at the life of the church. The church is not the same as it was 10 years ago. God makes things new all the time. For His glory, for His honor. He takes the broken and the destroyed and makes them new. Look what He did with the woman at the well. Look what He did with Mary Magdalene. Takes broken people. Look what He did with King David, who wrote our psalm this morning. Takes a broken person and makes them something brand new because of the life-giving power that He has. So let's celebrate. I've just given you a few reasons. Like I said, we could have picnic lunch and talk about reason all day long today. Let's celebrate Jesus. How you may ask. Romans 10, 9 through 15. If you didn't write down any other verse this morning, write down this one. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. You want to know how to worship your God every single day outside of church, outside of Sunday morning? You worship your Jesus this way. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here's the worship part. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to see more beautiful feet. You want to worship God, you carry the good news of Jesus Christ wherever you go. You want to worship God daily. May the name of Jesus be on every conversation, involved in every conversation you have in your home, in your church, in your community. Eyes and ears should be given to Jesus no matter where you go, no matter who you're talking to, and no matter how offended they get. Don't forget, Jesus offended many, many people. It's not wrong to offend people when you're telling them the truth. Satan is very, very offended by your message. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of Jesus Christ. I just gave you many reasons to celebrate Jesus this morning. My invitation is very simple today. Take that message, take that celebration outside of this building. Carry the good news of Jesus Christ with you. Share the name of Jesus with someone you know today. Celebrate Him. Celebrate Him till we meet again as a church family. And we'll start that celebration all over again. I want to invite you all this morning to stand. Go ahead, stand. Go ahead, stand. We're going to sing, How Great Thou Art. But let me tell you, if you're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ, it has to work in you first. So like every single Sunday, we give anybody the opportunity, although we're small in number here, we give everybody the opportunity. If you've never before seriously given your life to Jesus Christ and just did what Romans 10 called us to do, call on His name for forgiveness, acknowledging Him as Lord and Savior. be baptized in his baptism and made anew in him, we give you that opportunity today. For those of us who have already done that, think about the reasons we have. Think about who God is. Think about what he does through Jesus Christ. And boy, ask for a spirit that stirs inside you, that you celebrate so much this week, you can't help but to mention the name of Jesus wherever you go. Let's tell God how great he is this morning. We're going to sing "How Great Thou Art." If you need to make a decision for Jesus, man, make it today.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, to Thee, how great Thou art.